You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on Newstalk 4BC.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning. Good to be with you. Sunday morning, and we talk real estate for Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. Absolute waterfront luxury from $875,000. Nice to have your company. Yeah, we're heading towards Christmas. This time next week, it'll be Christmas Day. And, well, I'll be here, and we'll be talking to you on Christmas morning, maybe even playing a little bit of Christmas music. I think we're going to find it a little bit difficult to get people to talk to on Christmas morning, but maybe Kevin Brogan might join us. I see he's online, and we'll be talking to him in just a moment from CoreLogic. He has promised that he'll be here on Christmas morning. We'll get a confirmation on that in just a moment. Today I'm going to speak with a variety of experts and commentators to hear what they see as the challenges ahead for the next 12 months. We'll even talk to Kevin about that in just a moment too. And we'll take a look at some predictions and expectations for the year ahead. Will 2017 be the year to invest in inner city property or to downsize and find a piece of paradise away from the rat race? Well, we'll get your thoughts and opinions on that today too. In just a moment, I'm going to talk to the CEO of the REIQ, Antonio Mercarella, about an increase in rental vacancy rates across Brisbane. And we'll also have a look at how Queensland performed in 2016 and get down to the nitty-gritty of the best and worst performing areas in Queensland. But right now, as promised, I'm going to be talking to Kevin Brogan. And Kevin joins us every Sunday morning from CoreLogic RP Data to talk about his thoughts and opinions about what's happening in the property market. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm very well, my friend. And I did mention there, and you probably were listening, about next Sunday morning as to whether you're going to be available to have a chat to me on Christmas morning.
Yes, that shouldn't be a problem at all. It'll be a welcome relief from the kids, I think.
Well, everyone I talk to, they say to me, what? 7 o'clock Queensland time? You've got to be kidding. We'll be around the Christmas tree. And, of course, you would be too, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There'll be a fair bit of that going on. I think my kids are quite keen to get into it first thing in the morning, so there's no danger that you'll be waking me up.
How old are your kids, Kevin?
14 and 12.
Oh, yeah. That's a good age.
Oh, yes.
Well, a good age where you can say to them, listen, kids, I'm going to go and do a radio interview. Just hold fire for 5 minutes, will you? But if they were younger than that, they'd say, oh, come on, Dad.
No, if they can keep it down to a dull roar, I'll be able to find somewhere quiet.
You'll be happy, yeah. Yeah. Interested to see during the week too, the CoreLogic Best of the Best 2016 was released. Just having a quick look at that before I came on air, some really interesting results there. The top performing national suburbs. Queensland gets a mention only in the units area, Kevin.
Absolutely, and I'm afraid the mention on the headline is for the lowest median value. And that's Deakin in Brisbane, where the median value for units was $129,000 or thereabouts.
Well, some people would say that's good. That sort of keeps Queensland as nice and affordable. But it does actually show, I think, how affordable Queensland is across on a national perspective when we only rate in one of those areas.
Oh, look, it certainly does. The challenge for Brisbane is the employment market to continue with growth. But you know, compared to other capital cities which have a reliance on a mining industry, and of course Brisbane has a much greater diversity, so it's fared a lot better than Perth, for example, where performance has been very badly affected by the downturning in the mining investment boom.
So what were some of the highlights for you? What did you pick out of the report, Kevin?
Well, look, I'll pick a really good highlight for Queensland out of the highest gross value of sales over the last 12 months. Your listeners may be aware of the activity that's going on in inner city Melbourne in the unit market. And Melbourne has had the highest total value of sales for units at $739 million. But when you have a look at Surfers Paradise, that's $710 million. So that really is sort of snapping on the heels of Melbourne. Mm. If you aggregate the inner city Melbourne statistics, you come up with $1.5 billion worth of unit sales. And if you aggregate the Gold Coast regions, you also come up with about $1.5 billion worth of unit sales. Mm. So very strong activity performance there in the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Looking, just skimming down the report a little further too, Kevin, just an observation, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this too. If we look at the, in the the Queensland area,
yes.
If you look in, say, I think it was Brisbane, yeah, the Brisbane table that I'm looking at, the 12-month change in median values, they're all fairly moderate. And this, what I want to try and highlight is a positive here, because if you look, number one was East Brisbane with a growth in the median over the year of 14.7%. I'm actually looking at this on my iPhone, so if I get the figures wrong, they're pretty small, I can tell you.
That's right.
But you know, that being the highest one, that sort of shows how Brisbane continues that very moderate growth. And that's one of the things that I love about Queensland is that, or in Brisbane in particular, we've had moderate growth for decades. And I think that moderate growth that keeps us away from those peaks and troughs, Kevin.
It certainly does. I mean, that's a feeling we're familiar with in Adelaide as well, is that we don't have as much of a sort of boom or bust cycle. And of course, when you look at that rate of growth, 14.7%. If you look at the table below, the interesting thing there is the five-year change in median values. It all adds up, you know.
In
your best-performing suburb in Brisbane, over the last 5 years, the West End, you've seen a 42.6% change in median value over the last 5 years. And, you know, that level of growth, as you pointed out, is steady and sustainable.
Yeah, well, if you look even further down, like Graceville, which is a particularly good suburb, with a median there of 806,000, the growth over that five-year period has been 34%. Now, that's still a reasonably good return. If you look at getting a rental, if you've got an investment property as an example, and you're getting a rental return of maybe 5%, you combine those two, that's a fairly good growth over a five-year period. As far as I'm concerned, it's moderate compared to some of the other cap cities, but it's still good.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that was something we discussed a week or two ago, was about the gross returns and the total returns from properties. And that's really one of the characteristics of both Hobart and Canberra, which have come up through the ranks. Because you're actually getting a reasonable amount of capital growth, but you're also maintaining the level of return that you're getting from the rental. So in combination, the aggregate return for both Hobart and Canberra is sitting around the 14% mark, which is pretty healthy.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to leave it there, mate. I want to talk to you next week. We'll pick up some more about this report, because the best of the best 2016 from CoreLogic, I believe it gets released sometime this week. Is that right?
Absolutely. I believe it's being released on Monday.
Tomorrow,
And okay. I have to confess that Christmas Day is going to be a day on which I'm going to find it difficult to wrap up the auction results.
Honestly, I've only picked this report up this morning, and having a quick look through it, there is so much information. We'll pick up on it again next Sunday, I think, when I talk to you, mate. All the best, and thanks for joining us this morning.
It'll be a pleasure. Thank you very much, Kevin.
I'll good on you, Kev. Thank you. Interesting report that, and we'll have a further look into that. Watch out for it. It comes out tomorrow, as we mentioned. That's called the CoreLogic Best of the Best report, and you'll be able to get that on the CoreLogic site. But there's a huge amount of information they've been through, and they've looked at everything that's occurred during 2016, and as you heard, compared it back to compared it to what happened 5 years ago. Let's have a closer look at the Queensland market. Joining us, the CEO for the Real Estate Institute of Queensland, Antonia Mercarella, joins us on Sunday morning. Good morning, Antonia. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, look, fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Antonia, I won't ask you whether you'll join us on Sunday morning next week, because you've got family, and I'd imagine you'll be with you. How are you spending Christmas, by the way?
I'm going home to Adelaide, where my parents and my sister and her family live.
So lovely.
We'll be eating, no doubt. That's usually what takes most of our time up.
Yeah, good on you. Antonio, the report out from the REIQ looking at the median house price and median unit prices across Brisbane. Some interesting reading during the week. What were the highlights for you? Any surprises in that report?
No, look, I think there were no surprises. I mean, I guess there's a bit of a consistent theme there, and I was just listening to you speaking just then. Look, steady and sustainable growth is pretty much the theme here in Queensland, and has been for some time now. What this latest data shows us is really much of the same. Look, this is the September quarter, so we need to keep in mind this is from July. This is July, August, September. So I'd argue we're still seeing the impacts of the federal election in this data. So we did see just a slight dip in both the Brisbane median house price as well as that unit and apartment market in that, particularly in that inner city ring. But otherwise, it's much of the same.
Yeah. An issue that I do want to talk to you about, Antonia, we've raised it before and I'm going to continue to raise it and continue to talk about it next year because it's a burning issue. And that is, if we look at the regions, I think they're the most vulnerable ones. And it's so disappointing that the state government, and particularly the Treasurer, is not listening to us about the need to extend the First Homeowners Grant and make it more accessible into some of those regional areas.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, it really is a bit of a two-speed market here in Queensland. Whilst the southeast corner has been performing, you know, consistently well, we know that regional Queensland is a very, very different story. And when you look at the data, both in terms of those rental vacancy rates and also, obviously, those median sale prices, it continues to be a bad news story. So, at minimum, we really need to look at extending that grant to regional Queensland. It's simply crazy to offer a grant for new construction in those areas. What we need is assistance to buy that established stock that we know is sitting there.
Yeah, it's crazy. And are you getting the message through to the Treasurer? Is the Treasurer listening to you?
Look, we have written formally to the Treasurer. We're waiting for his response. What's really pleasing is we've got the support of a large group of regional mayors. They're behind us on this push. They're very supportive. So I'm really hopeful that in the new year we can sit down with the Treasurer and have a discussion about progressing this. You know, obviously we'd love it to be extended across Queensland, but at minimum in those regional communities where it's needed most would just be a dream come true, I'm sure, for many of those people.
It's a continual frustration, I think, for us. And, you know, we should try and get the Treasurer to come and talk to us if we can actually get him to talk about that. Because
I'd love to do
he
that.
Does
yeah.
actually need to be listening to what we're saying there, because it is a major issue. And I know you mentioned there the support you're getting from the mayors, but you've only got to talk to some of the real estate agents around Queensland. It just simply does not make sense that First Homeowners Grant is promoting more new development in some of those regional areas, which is exactly what they don't need.
It's what they don't need. It would only exacerbate the problem, arguably. So it's pretty crazy. It's time to reassess that one.
Well, we'll put the call out now for the Treasurer. Treasurer, we'd love to have you on the show. You're welcome anytime. We'd love to talk to you about that issue. We'd like to get a bit of an insight. So we'll continue to see if we can get the Minister, and if you can help in that area too, Antonia, that'd be good. I just want to take the opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you for your support for the show during 2016. Look forward to working with you next year as well.
It's been a pleasure, Kevin. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you and Merry Christmas to all of your listeners.
Great. And I look forward to talking to you in 2017. Thanks, Antonia.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Antonia Mercarella from the REIQ. A great voice for Queensland. It's a great voice for the industry. And, you know, once again, we'll put that call out for the Minister, for the Treasurer, to come and join us on the show at any time. And there's another issue that I want to talk about too, and that is this continuing debate about the QBCC, Queensland Building Construction Commission. And we've had the Minister for Housing on, the Honourable Mick de Brenny, talking about that. I was really particularly disappointed, and I've expressed this to the Minister as well, about the makeup of the new board. There was an opportunity there to have a clean sweep through there. But unfortunately, we seem to have gone back to the bad old days. And, you know, some of the new people on the board, one in particular, who, you know, we've had on this show in the past and has shown a great disrespect, I believe, for Queenslanders, what they need to do, particularly those who have to deal with the QBCC. Anyway, we'll pick up on that. We will have an opportunity to do that in the new year, because the Minister has agreed that he would come on. And I do think it is a major issue. And the mail that I get about the QBCC, it just continues. It's just a festering mess. And it continues to be an absolute toothless tiger. 22 minutes past 7, 4BC. We are talking real estate. We do that for Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. 90% sold. Absolute waterfront luxury from $875,000.
Real estate on 4BC. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $875,000.
Coming up to 25 minutes past 7, news headlines at 7.30. Felicity called. Felicity has asked the question. Yesterday, we mentioned a website that you can go to find out the original sale price of your property. There is a history, Felicity, for you to go and have a look at. Go to Price Finder, pricefinder.com.au, or if you go to CoreLogic RP Data, most of them will now have the histories, the sale histories. You can actually get history on many of the sites. That's now becoming quite publicly available. So pricefinder.com.au is the one I'd recommend you go and have a look at. If you have any difficulties, just send me an email. I'll be happy to send you a link. Just send it to kevin@realestatetalk.com.au. kevin@realestatetalk.com.au. 25 and a half minutes past 7. Well, just what's on the horizon for renovators, and we could get no better advice than that from Cherie Barber from Renovating for Profit, who joins me. Good morning, Cherie, and thanks for your time.
Good morning.
Just keen to hear what you see as the trends for next year. Is renovation still going to be something that wise investors will be doing in 2017?
Absolutely. Look, a lot of people with housing affordability being such an issue, and the high cost of relocating, more people than ever are choosing to stay put and renovate instead, so that's great. I do see that there is going to be really continued strong demand for quick cosmetic renovations. So unfortunately, a lot of structural renovations these days are becoming a lot more troublesome with council and cost of reports and CC certificates. So I'm definitely seeing an uptake in the amount of cosmetic renovations.
What are the key things to be careful of, I guess, if you're looking at picking up a property, renovating and turning it over quickly? Are the fundamentals good for that right now?
Yes and no. For the buy, renovate and sell strategy, it's not particularly a very good market. Again, when the prices rise, the buy, renovate and sell strategy sort of fizzes out a little bit, so to speak. So there's very strong interest in the buy, renovate and rent strategy right now.
Okay.
Again, housing shortages, tenancy shortages, there is always good demand for tenants. Definitely the buy, renovate and rent strategy is the winning formulation for 2017.
Any particular markets that are better than others, Cherie, that you're finding around Australia?
Look, I think a lot of markets are still really good. Obviously, cosmetics don't tend to work well, not to 20Ks within the CBD. So outside of those areas will work 20-plus from any sort of major CBD. Regional areas will work okay, but it's very much suburb-dependent. As we know, Kevin, renovations don't work in every single suburb, so you've got to be selective and choose the suburbs that are going to get you good growth potential as well, because that's a big thing for renovators. A lot of renovators buy a property, they get in and renovate it, they'll get it revalued or they'll flip it. Most people are getting the properties revalued, and they do rely on getting good capital growth so that they can refinance into that 6, 12 or 2 years later, whatever it may be, and then leverage that equity as the deposit to go do project number two.
Yeah. I know that you help a lot of people around Australia, have done for many years, get into the renovation market. Has that profile of the typical renovator changed, Cherie, the people who are coming to you for advice?
Yeah, it's strangely enough, it's all sorts of people. You've got young people, young property guns who, there are a lot more people who are educated on property these days. So we're definitely seeing a very broad market, young people right through to people as old as, in their 80s.
Wow.
And I have no problem with that. So I think anybody at any age can renovate or do anything in property. So it's good to see. And obviously a lot more women coming through the renovation ranks. At the moment, 70% of my students across the country are female, so it's an interesting stat.
What do they bring to the renovation skill set that maybe males don't, Cherie, in your experience? Is there any way to define that?
Yeah, Yeah, look, it's definitely not a battle of the roses. The reality is, if you're a female on a renovation site, you need men on site. They've got physical strength that we just don't have as females. But what I do think works well for women is our organisational skills. We are born multitaskers. Not to say that men aren't, but women tend to be, you know, particularly good at this. And we all know that on a renovation site, the key is to how well organised you are and your ability to coordinate many people. So women do really well with that. They also have great skills in design and colour as well, maybe more so a little bit than our male counterparts. But as I said, each males and females bring their own collective skills to the party. So as long as we all work together, it's, you know, that's what we hope for, a successful renovation.
That ability to manage a project that you talked about there and get all the time frames right and do all that careful planning, is that one of the big pluses that females bring to this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you're really, like, you can't ever go into your renovations disorganised. You've got to map everything out before you start. You've got to coordinate your trades. You've got to book them in. They've got to have scope of work. So when you're not organised, that's typically when it costs you more money in labour costs, rework, materials being installed and then having to be ripped out. So good planning is the foundation of any successful renovation.
And what are your plans for 2017 in terms of education and seminars and so on? Cherie, what have you got on the agenda?
We're rolling out a whole series of new online courses. So we've got Cosmetic Renovations for Profit coming in the new year. We've just launched Interior Design for Profit. So that's for anybody who wants to know how to, you know, the basic principles of interior design and property styling so they can potentially train themselves on how to do that themselves. And we have a whole series of other property-related courses, granny flats, small developments. So there's 5 or 6 courses rolling out, which we're pretty excited about.
And all available through your website?
Yeah, renovatingforprofit.com.au.
Always great talking to you, Cherie Barber. Thank you so much for your time and all the best for 2017. Look forward to talking to you as the year goes on too.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Real Estate on 4BC. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $875,000.
And it's bang on 24 minutes to 8 at 4BC. Congratulations to our winners. Lots of callers. Thanks for calling in. We've got another prize to give away in just a moment too, so stand by for that. If you missed out last time, we've got another one coming up. It's a double pass to go and see any movie at all of your choice at any event cinemas. That'll be coming up in just a moment. But congratulations to Alison Hickey and Carol Blake, who are each going to take away one of those EnviroSafe packs worth $134. How good is that? So congratulations to both of you. Commiserations to those who didn't get through, but stand by because we've got another prize to give away in just a moment. 23 minutes to 8, 4BC. Not getting sidelined by short-term thinking is going to be one of the big obstacles that property investors will have to look at next year. That's according to Rich Harvey, who is the president of REBA, the Real Estate Agents Buyers Association of Australia, and his website is propertybuyer.com.au. Rich, welcome to the show. Why do you think that's going to be a challenge for property buyers?
Thanks, Kevin. Great to be on the show again. But I think this year has been quite a challenging year, and next year will be probably an even greater challenge because we've had, you know, really significant price rises in the Sydney and Melbourne market. The rest of the country is coming along in different phases. So the challenge for investors is knowing where they're going to get the best return for their dollar, not just next year, but for the next 10 years. And that's why I talk about short-term thinking. Some people get very hung up about a statistic that might come out from a property provider and latch onto that one statistic and then make a decision only based on very short-term thinking.
There is a lot of information available now for buyers and sellers, I guess. Has that made it a bit more difficult trying to work through, you know, what you should be paying attention to, Rich?
Absolutely. There's just so much noise out there in the media from different providers. I mean, CoreLogical put out a report saying, you know, there's been a substantial drop in prices in Melbourne as everyone runs from the Melbourne market, or Sydney's due to have a crash. Well, you know, they're just sensational headlines. You've got to look at the underlying factors that drive the two big behemoth markets. And if you can't afford those markets, there's plenty of other markets that investors and home buyers can get into around the country.
Yeah, one of the big mistakes we've seen during 2016 is that people tend to think that it's one property market as opposed to a whole lot of different ones.
And exactly.
Have you got a preference for whether you think people would you be investing in a house or a unit?
Yeah, great question. Look, it depends. Again, the answer to that question, it depends. I think generally going forward, houses will probably track at a faster appreciation rate than apartments. However, if you're buying an apartment in an area that, you know, 95% of the stock is apartments, like, for example, if you're in Sydney and you're buying in Elizabeth Bay or Potts Point or Kirribilli, you're not going to be able to afford a $6 or $7 million house in that area. So apartments will probably do equally as well in those really tightly held, you know, inner city areas. But if you don't fall for the fallacy of that, you know, land always appreciates, because you can equally go and buy a house out in the stick suburbs, you know, out at Longreach or, you know, out at Mount Isa and do pretty poorly over time as well. So it all depends on the underlying drivers of supply and demand in the market that you're looking at.
Do you think that we could be at risk? You talked there about units or apartments, particularly in the city. We've heard a lot of stories about oversupply. Do you subscribe to that?
No, look, great question. I actually addressed that in my last newsletter as well, saying, you know, a lot of people asking me questions, which is the market oversupplied. I think there'll be little pockets of oversupply, and that doesn't diminish the whole market. So an example, again, back in the Sydney market, if you're looking at places like Parramatta or Homebush, Blacktown, Liverpool, Auburn, Zetland, Mascot, those areas will potentially have a small oversupply. In fact, SQM is suggesting that we might have an oversupply of only 4,000 dwellings next year and about 9,000 dwellings in 2018. But you've got to consider Sydney's population is 4.9 million, right? So that oversupply is a very temporary blip in a long-term trend of undersupply. We've had almost a decade of undersupply, and a lot of the growth has been catch-up. And going forward, we're going to hopefully get a more balanced market. And I think then, you know, there's regulations are tightening up. And I think you'll get to a position where we're going to be undersupplied yet again in, say, 2019 or 2020.
How do you feel about the regional markets around Australia? Once again, I'm not asking you to put them all into the one box, but compare regional to cap city markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I think there's some good opportunities in some of the regional markets. Again, you've got to exercise a lot of caution in those regional areas just because they're attractive to visit. Doesn't always mean they're going to go up. But, you know, I think as long as they've got a stable economy, you know, really good growth drivers going forward. I mean, if you're going to look at this small regional and large regional. So what I mean by a small regional, it might be, you know, like a Mudgee or an Orange or, you know, if you're in Queensland, you know, it could be, excuse me, it might be some of the sort of the smaller areas. But the larger regionals are places like, you know, Sunshine Coast or Newcastle, Wollongong. And they're much safer bets, in my view, because they've got a bigger population base and a more diversified job market, and that's going to help drive the property market in those areas. But just be really careful of mining towns. That'll be my one tip. Is, again, sure, commodity prices are potentially, you know, recovering in some sectors, but it's just such a volatile market.
Speaking of mining towns or mining markets, what's your feeling about the West Australian market for 2017?
Yeah, I still think it's going to be pretty lackluster. I think the Perth market, the time to buy in the Perth market is not now. I think it's probably going to be another 12 to 24 months before you could start to look at that month. And the same for Darwin. They're the two markets that I would say are still suffering. If you want to be super counter-cyclical and go in 2 years early, then go for it. But for my money, I wouldn't be putting it there at the moment. Just too much tied to the resources sector to really go forward.
Of course, in some of those markets, and you made that point just now about being counter-cyclical, there are some great buying opportunities provided you're going to get in there for the long haul, Rich.
But you've got to make sure it's also going to, if you are counter-cyclical, you've got to know it's going to not have a dead cap down, you know, and just stay down, right? So, you know, for my money, I like to be more conservative and know that I'm going to be investing in a town that's going to have a very, very long future. You know, so Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane are the kind of three key markets that really attract most of my personal investment strategy, because I know that all of those markets have a very, very long-term future. And yes, there might be some small little corrections along the way, but they certainly rebound with a bang. And like we've seen, particularly in Sydney, going off. And, you know, I don't see it slowing down much next year. In fact, everyone's saying Sydney's going to grind to a halt. Well, I think we're going to have pretty reasonable growth next year because we've got a constriction in supply.
that probably answers my next question. My final question to you is, if you were looking for a property for yourself right now, where would you be looking and what price range would you look in?
Okay, again, it depends on your individual strategy. For me, I look for value-adding strategy. So I'm still looking in western parts of Sydney. Anything sort of to do with the Badgerys Creek area, that's really going off really well. I love to buy in blue chip suburbs where I can do a small reno. I love to try and do things where I can do a duplex. I also like for positive cash flow. I really like the Brisbane market, particularly around the Logan Shire. We're doing quite a bit up there and adding granny flats. Well, we can buy houses and get around a 6% yield, but add the flat, we get 8%. Newcastle, I'm also pretty keen on because I think that market's got some strong legs and getting really good rental returns as well.
Good talking to you, Rich Harvey. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
Real Estate on 4BC. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $875,000.
Coming up to 13 to 8 at 4BC. 13, 13, 32, if you'd like to pick up a prize. The prize is a double pass to see a film of your choice at any one of the event cinemas. That is a double pass. You can use that to go, to, as I said, to see any movie of your choice at any one of the event cinemas. 13, 13, 32. We've only got one of these to give away. A great Christmas present. And we thank Event Cinemas for that. You can book now at eventcinemas.com.au. On the phone, 13 13 32, and we'll tell you the name of the winner in just a moment. 12 minutes to 8. A very good friend of mine, Bryce Holdaway, joins me. Bryce is a partner, property advisor, buyer's agent, co-host of the Property Couch podcast, a great following that one, and also co-author of the book Armchair Guide to Property Investing. Also co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel. How do you ever get time to spend time with your family, Bryce?
Yeah, that's a question my wife asks me all the time.
Is it?
I'm surrounded by good people. I'm lucky.
Yeah, you are lucky. You've got a good partner in the business too, who we talk to from time to time. But it's great to be able to talk to you. I'm interested to get your insight as to the events of 2016. Any surprises that you saw, or did you see most of what was going to happen?
Oh, look, I think I thought that Melbourne and Sydney wouldn't have done as well as it did this time last year. That was a little bit of a surprise, but I think largely, you know, historically low interest rates, which we hadn't had as a precedent before, and also the upgraders deciding to stay in their house before they buy meant that there was this massive shortage of stock, which just meant that all this pent-up demand was just being escalated by the fact that the stock levels were so low. So that surprised me to a certain extent, And the other thing that surprised me, I guess, was, you know, we're starting to talk about the R word, you know, recession, and economists are trying to predict whether we're going to fall into a technical recession. And after 25 years of economic prosperity, that's a word that some people in the Gen Y have never experienced before. So I was surprised there. And then, of course, you know, Trump, who predicted that?
Yeah, exactly. Who predicted that in Brexit? And there were so many other surprises too. You mentioned there about low stock. We're taking, of course, a low stock environment into 2017. Do you see that changing much in the new year? In other words, will buyers have more choice?
I don't know. I don't think so. But what I think is probably a little bit of a come off of demand, because I think there'll be a few out of cycle interest rate rises, which I think APRA's trying to get the banks to do some heavy lifting for them so that we can take a bit of heat out of so many investors in the market. Is not a healthy market for anyone, including the investors.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a bad thing to take a bit of heat out.
Yeah. What are the opportunities you see for investors next year? Where do you think the smart money is going to be going?
Oh, in the non-majors. I mean, we've been buying a little bit of property in for clients in Brisbane and Adelaide in the sort of owner-occupier-dominated sort of 10-kilometre radius. But one of the sneakies for me in Brisbane, it's kind of counterintuitive and counter media at the moment, is to buy really great quality 1970s flats in blue chip Brisbane.
Yep.
Because you can pick them up for, in some cases, high threes in small blocks. You know, I was looking at one in Balmoral recently that had, you know, a view of the Brisbane city that just looked like the city was just there purely for this balcony. It's just breathtaking. And you can pick that up in the high threes. But what I said to the investor is this is a long-term play, and And we've got to have that on the back of Brisbane being heavily oversupplied with rentals. So if we're really realistic about what we're going to achieve for rent, picking up blue chip stock in this market, in a market that's expected to have a huge population growth, for me, is a very good long-term play, particularly given Melbourne and Sydney are very comfortable with medium density living, whereas Brisbane and Perth, you know, most investors sort of go towards a house. But if you're buying really good blue chip, small boutique flats, the old 70s flats, with a long-term play and very understanding of the fact that the rentals are a challenge there, so drop that low, I think there's opportunity there.
That flat that you talked about, or the unit, was that in like a six pack?
Yeah, it was six, and it was in you know, Balmoral. It's beautiful properties. It was the only block in the street, so there's some scarcity, and I can walk down to Oxford Street and get on the ferry down at Hawthorne and get into the city.
Pretty good.
So, lifestyle drivers are awesome.
Two bedrooms?
Two beds, yeah.
One bath. In a lot of those, I've found, Bryce, I mean, the bedrooms are quite a generous size, or you might have found the main bedroom was quite big. There's a smaller second bedroom, but the bathrooms were quite large, so large that you could probably even, you know, carve the laundry out and put a compact laundry and even make an ensuite.
Yeah, or in some cases, put a study. Look, a lot of the agents in Brisbane are saying move the laundry downstairs and then create up a really big one. I personally prefer to keep the laundry upstairs.
Yeah, I do too.
Because no one wants to travel down three sets of stairs to do their washing on a Sunday afternoon. But look, I see, but to get public opinion, because, you know, everyone says apartments are oversupplied in Brizzy, but if you're buying the right one, in the right locations. I mean, it's like buying in the GFC, you know. If you had the opportunity to buy when the market was a little bit quiet, you're now looking back going, wow, wasn't that a good opportunity. So,
yeah.
But as you know, Kevin, you know it better than most living there, that you've just got to keep your eye on the fact that rentals are oversupplied for the new stuff. But if you can create a price disparity between, you know, what they're asking for a two-bedroom brand new to yours, which is a bit older, but if the best lifestyle drivers, and you make sure the price point sticks, that's where I see the opportunity.
Yeah, I was talking to Antonio Mercarella from the CEO from the REIQ earlier in the show, and, you know, we talked about how the state government here are just banging on with this first homeowners grant that's so central around new builds. So they're really saying you've got to, you know, buy something new, something either off the plan or something as a new build to get the first homeowners grant, totally ignoring the fact that that's probably forcing people to buy into areas where they're not going to get the best return, and also ignoring the fact that there is a lot in the regional areas, a lot of oversupply of existing stock, which is where we should be pushing first homeowners.
Yeah, agreed. And as you know, Kevin, the system's more important than the individual within the system. So as you know, the multiplier effect of brand new is enormous in jobs growth and wages growth. So they're thinking of things other than the poor old first-time investor. But I'm with you 100%. You know, I often tell a client, as a buyer's agent, I don't often help a lot of firsties because they are frantically saving every penny. And for me to say, oh, by the way, you know, 25% of what you save is what you're going to pay me as a fee, they just sort of go white in the face. But I say to them, look past those grants for a medium to long-term view, because sure, they look enticing now, but ultimately you want to obviously pay down the loan as best you can, but you want to get some growth in the market to help you get onto the next property. And sometimes that's, you know, staring down the face of these grants, saying no and buying in a better position. Which will serve you better in the long term.
Yeah, gee, that's really good advice. Can I ask you to fast forward to this time next year? What are you going to be saying to me about the 2017 market, do you think? And I'm recording this, so I'm going to actually play it back to you next year.
it's always a nervy feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Crystal ball. Hey, look, I still think there'll be growth in the big two, Melbourne and Sydney. But what I think investors need to get used to is life without double-digit growth in those two big markets. I recently tried to get a property in Yarraville here in Melbourne. It was an inner western suburb. Mm-hmm. Two-bedroom, single-fronted, period home, walking distance to the village, textbook, tick, tick, tick. And I comped it up at the high eights. And my comp at the high eights included a premium for where the market is now. I was chatting with the agent as the building inspection was being done. I had to get the offer in by 12 o'clock the next day. And she just looked at me, she goes, I've got 930 covered, so, you know, there's no point coming in under that point. And the colour went out of my face, and I thought, wow. So I went home and talked to the client, and long story short, we pulled out, because I just didn't have comfort at that level, even considering the position and the market.
Yeah.
It went for 965, and high eights was my high premium price. So some stuff in Melbourne and Sydney in some of these areas is doing some incredible pricing.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that the six-figure incomes are available in those two big cities, that just can't continue. That's got to come off. So for me, there's 1,400 people per week moving to Melbourne, a bit over 1,000 in Sydney. So that has to create forward momentum. But I think Sydney siders and Melbourne investors, they've got to get used to more moderate sort of 3% and 4% growth rather than the expected 8%, 9%, and 10% that they've been blessed with over the last few years.
Good talking to you, Bryce Holloway. All the best for 2017, mate, and for Christmas, and look forward to talking to you next year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Thanks, Kevin.
Real Estate on 4BC. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $875,000.
And that's it for me for today. Thank you very much for your company. Thanks to Ash for helping out. And congratulations to Ian Lindsay taking away that pass to go to Event Cinemas. That's all for today. Thanks for your company. We'll catch you again next Saturday and Sunday morning. Yes, we'll be here between 7 and 8 as we talk real estate. News is next.